Yes. Romans 1. I'm going to read down to 23, and then we'll start. I'm going to start at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beast and creeping things. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to study today together as a body. We pray for each member here of your body that today we might be strengthened and edified in the inner man, as increasing in knowledge and also understanding as we read your word and believe it. We just thank you again for the time we have here. We pray that it always is for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, this is obviously we had some gaps in there from the last few weeks. But I will say God is... Before he pronounces judgment, we said that he always informs man of what's coming, and he always gives them the reason why. So it won't be a surprise to you, and it never is to a man, why he's suffering the things that he's suffering, or why he's under the judgment that he's under. You know, God is just one of the attributes of God is he's just. He's fair to do those things. Now, we think about in our scope here, we always think of America. And they say, well, God is punishing America by all the things that happen today in different places. But that's not true, because, number one, we're not the chosen nation. And God is dealing with individuals today. And as an individual, God is not punishing you. When the things that happen to you, God is not punishing you now. Now, there may be a day coming where man will be punished. But right now, we live in what's called the dispensation of grace. And that means that this is a time where God is not imputing trespasses to men. He's not counting their sins against them. That's why it's called the dispensation of grace. You know, you go to a water dispenser, you hit the button, you don't expect coffee to come out, do you?
Nope.
You expect water to come out. When God says he's dispensing grace, that means he's giving out grace. Now, in time past, he gave grace and only certain men were beneficiaries of that grace, like Adam, or Moses, or Noah, or David, all those. But today it's all, I think Perry said this, and I'm going to use his word. He says it's unto all men without qualification and without quantification. That means that it doesn't matter how many you've done, how many sins you've done, or what the nature of the sins were. He's not counting it against you. That's amazing.
Yes.
So this is a time where God says, you know, this is the time to come now. and be saved. Because there's a time, and God says, well, one day that opportunity won't be on the table. He says, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. He has given, you know where the word, we said this word, the word comes from heaven. Now, there's a lot of opposition to that, which is why, that's why it's opposition, because it comes from God. But he has recorded that from heaven. We have received it from the prophets and the apostles. They have recorded it, collated it, preserved it, and you have now what God wants in your hands. You do. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. You don't have to, as in the Catholic days, it's not held up in the church somewhere where only a few people can go see it. And when you get there, I'll read it to you and I'll tell you what it means. You have the privilege and opportunity to sit down
in your own language,
in your own, and read it, and you find out for yourself what God says. That's why, guess who he's going to hold accountable?
Everybody.
Okay.
Flip the coin a little bit. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, no.
Why do they interpret people calling themselves prophets and apostles?
Why do people today in the church call themselves prophets and apostles? Number one, because I would say I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say it's through ignorance.
And the truth and unrighteousness.
And on the other hand, I would say it's because of just flat out deception, where it's not new that people in all ages have used the word of God to their benefit and to deceive the people. So when, as a matter of fact, we were just, the one of the themes of yesterday was the more excellent way. The more excellent way was the theme. And the more excellent way was love. But one of the verses says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Mm-hmm. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And he's talking about in understanding. And to answer your question in a short way is the time where God spoke with apostles and prophets. That time is over because we have the word of God here. The function of an apostle was to record the word of God. Right? The function of a prophet, same thing. You have prophet, apostles, prophets, evangelists. This is what when in those days God picked those men and revealed it to them. He revealed his word to the apostles. He revealed his word to the prophets. And what they did, they would write it down. That's why we have the epistle of Paul to the Romans. See, if I was a prophet, then you'd have to bring in your notepad and paper. And we'd be adding to this daily. Every week we'd be adding more to it. Because you're saying that God is still speaking through me to you. Now, in a secondary sense, that might be true because we're reading his word. But what I'm saying to you is not inspired unless I'm reading his word.
You're not getting a new revelation.
You're right. You know what? My uncle would say this. If it's new, it's not true. Say it again.
I said, I have heard that.
Yeah. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. So whatever a man, any pastor is going to talk to you, he's got to be coming from this. But we have this. We say, Bob, the Lord revealed this to me. He gave me a word for you today, Bob. And he's telling me whatever he's going to tell you. Now, I'm a couple of verses, then I'm going to get back to where we go. Look at Deuteronomy 18. I just want to look at a verse, a couple of verses. Now, God gave his revelation to Moses, didn't he? And only Moses. Because that's when we chose to reveal his word through Moses, right? Okay. Verse 18, I tell you what, let's pick up at verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his sons or his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For a necromancer is people that say they talk to the dead. That's what's the lady? The lady with the big hair now. She's in Vegas right now. I think it's she's a medium. They call them a medium. But anyway, she's real popular. But anyway, he says, for all that do these things are what? An abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and to diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. What do you think the God wanted to do with those people? He said, I want you doing like they do, and I don't want you listening to them. What do you think he wanted?
For them to listen to him.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Here you go, Mike. How do we know that this guy is a prophet or not? How do we know if he's really an apostle or not? He says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord had not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. He says, don't give him reverence. Don't worship. Don't listen to him. And today, they talk about it in most of them are lies. Most of them. They'll call me up and I'll send you this bottle of water that's going to bless you and prosper you. Or whatever. It's been from back in the days of, Reverend Ike. Back in those days, all the way up to today, there's always been deceivers. So we have the word of God. God has already recorded it. He's already preserved it. He's already given it to us in our languages. And I think Kevin said yesterday that the Bible is the best seller every year.
Just to add to what you're talking about, something I was studying just the past few days, is the story in 1 Kings 13 about the prophet.
Yeah.
And that the Lord told him what to do. And the other deceiver came and said, well, I'm a prophet too. And the Lord told me to tell you.
It's okay.
And so rather than going with the revealed word, he took the word of a man that said he was speaking for the Lord. And he ended up getting eaten by a lion.
That's right.
Yeah.
And guess who told him that he was going to get punished? The lion prophet. You know what the lion prophet said? He said, why didn't you listen to God? You had to read that story here. But that's a good question, because today, everybody that stands up with scripture in their hand doesn't mean they're God's spokesman.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I'm not saying this is right or not, but this weekend there is a men's seminar that's taking place here in Memphis, and the name of it is A More Excellent Way.
Okay. I wonder what that's about. You know what that's about?
It is. It's about the Bible. And it's about the Bible being the more excellent way. But there is a men's seminar this weekend, and that's the name of it.
Okay. So, did that help you out?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I will add one more thing onto that. As the scriptures were being prepared, God equipped his believers to do what he wanted done. That's why you would have, the prophets, the apostles, and they would write it down, circulate the letters. They would collate them, assemble them together, send them to the churches. And the believers are the ones who made sure that they had the word of God. So Paul would say, make sure that this letter is read by the Colossians. And you make sure the Colossians letter is sent to the Laodiceans. And likewise. So they would circulate those letters around. Well, they didn't just send around one letter.
They had to copy them.
Right. So it began when it's assembled. And Ephesians said this, that he gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
He gave gifts, and those were the gifts.
Gifted. He gifted the men. He enabled them to do this. That's why you won't. I saw Fred Price. Anybody know Fred Price is?
Yeah, right.
I saw Fred Price's apostolic ordination on TV.
Yeah, pretty.
So, and it really shocked me. I don't know why it did, because before he was a somewhat sound, and so I tuned in the next day, and he had a Pope hat on and a Pope robe, a Catholic robe, the cane, and they were all walking with him, and I said, wow, what's this?
Who was that?
Fred Price.
Yeah.
In California. I said, what? I said, this man has really hit a new low. Because I know he knows that's wrong. I feel like He knows that that's not right. Why would he try to make himself an apostle? And now his son has taken over the church. Now, guess what's next for him?
I'll get promoted.
He's going to get promoted to an apostle. Not just now, but it's coming. It has to. But now the apostle is sitting down somewhere. See?
You know, in 1929, we had the popes, when they were nominated, by the generals first, so that the popes could control the people, and that's what the generals wanted. And it wasn't until 1929 that the real supposed pope was put into office. So what did he do? In order to establish church law, he appointed the priests underneath him, and he made them cardinals. So who made the church law? The cardinals. So he handpicked the people. So the succession took place. So who chose right. The bishops? The cardinals chose the bishops. Who chose the priests? The bishops chose the priests. So you saw the succession right. Within the Catholic Church. It was all started at the top and worked on. So the Pope was infallible because he chose who he wanted. And that's how the church law got
established. That's nothing. That's the same thing, you know, at the Baptist Convention. Any religious organization, that's how it works. So listen, God is not in the majority. We talked about this. God is not in the majority. It's very few people that are going the way God wants. That's why he said when Paul wrote it, he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Because when they knew what was true, they didn't hold it as the truth. They changed it. They exchanged it for a lie. It's nothing new that's happening. So, and one last thing, Mike. The reason why you know that these things are not working, because number one, it was for a specific time. Number two, it never happens. What they say never happens.
And there's no way to validate it against the written word of God.
They're never doing what they say is being done. They're not healing anybody. And besides that, they go against written scripture. What you hear them say is not even in agreement with Paul's writings. That's how you know. Listen, this man will get up and say, the Lord called me, and he doesn't know the Pauline truth.
He called himself.
He went, right. He just, like my uncle used to say, the Lord called you. He said, what did he sound like? You know what? It's very simple, but that's good. He said, the Lord told me. He said, what did you sound like? How do you know it wasn't somebody else?
Right.
Hey, we put the picture of Jesus on the wall, and none of us ever seen him. No, he doesn't look like that. But we look how long we perpetuate that lie.
Mm-hmm.
He was lonely in it.
When you talk to some of the apostles today, they will say, when you ask them about the qualifications or what makes you an apostle, then they try to say, it's different today than it was then. This is a small A apostle.
Sure.
They know what you're going to say. Hey, you don't have the science of an apostle.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. They're not doing any of those things. But you know what? and I'll say this. He said, look, there's God's many, there's Lord's many, there's different spirits. And Paul said, but to us, there is one. So there's God's many, there's Lord's many, small s spirits many. You know what? Small a apostles, small p prophets, small e evangelists, small p pastors, small t teachers.
That's that vague imagination.
Right. When I say that, I mean that just because they have a label doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it God.
No, I don't get that. Say that again, GLS. Explain it.
Well, for example, I'm saying, when I say capital G, I mean the God, the true God.
Yeah.
When I say capital L, I mean the Lord Jesus, the capital L.
Yeah.
When I say the capital S, I mean the Holy Spirit.
Well, we're talking about the Trinity now.
Well, yes, but I'm saying, even this man might say that I'm an apostle.
Yeah.
I'm saying apostle, capital A, like Paul, Peter, and the scripture apostles. Not the self-made apostles today. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said they are...
Or the gods that people worship, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Those gods, they
yes.
Of their own imagination.
Like the ones in our yard, the statues we put in the yard, you know.
Hinduism.
Yeah.
Rather worship the creator, they're worshiping the creation, the creature.
Right. A created thing. And,
yeah.
And you know what, Mary? God says, I see that. I see that. In the past, you wouldn't make it that far. You wouldn't make it back home. Right. But today, not only can you make it, you can build a church and thrive. So the people would say, that has to be God.
Right. And that's why the love of money is the root of all evil.
They can't. They couldn't go that far without God, could they?
They're going to be doing it real a lot in the tribulation.
Look, let me ask you something. When Satan took the Lord up to the temple, and he says, look out there. He said, all these kingdoms are mine. And I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. Here's where our disconnection is. We think this, that to worship Satan is immorality. And sinful, like physical sins, and, you know, the smoking and drinking and lying and chasing men and chasing women. We think that's what we think. We don't think this is just don't do what God says. Just believe there's other way. There's another way to be an apostle. Just believe there's other gods. Just believe there's other evangelists, pastors and teachers who speak with authority.
Deviate from the word.
Just deviate from what he wrote, what he really said. Just deviate from that, and you can prosper.
Do the opposite.
Now, the problem, like I said, the problem is we are so far away from what he said. That is, it's hard to get back. It's hard to get back. So, all right. That's you know what? When people ask a question, I just can't let it go.
That's the way it should be.
Because I feel like I don't know what he's dealing with. Right? And it may help. It may help. Because what if there's an apostle telling Mike something that's directly against what God wants? And he goes and he does it, and it's a big detriment to his family and him. And then I hear, what happened to Mike? Well, this happened. And man, he just asked that question. And we put him off. We told him we'll talk about it next week. So, but now that's why God said in Romans 1 that he said the wrath of God is revealed in heaven. He says this won't go on forever. Do you think I can reveal my will to my created people who I want to worship and serve me, and they reject me, and there be no consequences to it, repercussions to it? He says, no. He says, I will one day reveal my wrath just like I always have. I haven't forgotten. This is just your chance to get it right. He says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And we talked about a little bit about that, about when they established idolatry with the Tower of Babel. And when they built that tower, you know what an observatory is, right? Mm-hmm. They go to the top of it and they study the stars. Well, hence observatory. And what they built, and that's what they were, I guess, stargazers. You know, they knew things that we don't know. And one of the real cheap imitations of it is when you pick up the paper and read the horoscope. Before I even knew what it was, I would pick it up and see, what does it say about today? What's going to happen today? And I was like, oh, okay. But now, see, we realize that even with that watered down version, it still has some truth in it, the horoscope.
What? Has truth?
It still has, I said, some truth in it.
Where is
they the they took the they took the principle of it. For example, any of you ladies ever bought a knockoff bag? Knockoff purse. Never. Of course. I don't they won't admit. No, never. I'll never buy one of those. You know what? And
imitation.
When my wife bought a bag one day, and it was a Coach bag. And they have a leather tag on the inside of them. That's how you know it's an authentic Coach bag. Well, she bought the Coach bag. And it was upside down. The logo was upside down. And I said, that's a fake. And she said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. The logo is upside down. And anyway, she ended up sending it back. But when I say there's even though it looked like it, there's the principle was there when they tried to duplicate it, but you can tell that it was not an original. So that worship, that idolatrous worship, it manifests itself in a lot of ways, not just religions of the world, but you know, the zodiac is based on what? 12 signs. Where do you think that came from?
The Creator.
So,
right.
So this we're talking about a universal principle. When I say universal, that's why every culture has a zodiac. And they got it from the creation. That's where they got it from. Where God, he put it there and he says, now this is for you all. And you remember last week we said that when they were supposed to seek God. And he said, though he be not far from every one of them, it was to seek him and find him. Well, they didn't seek him, but they did find something. They just stopped short of him. Now, when we see how they went from the creation to man, they started worshiping men, right? And then it said they went from the creation. He said they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made unto man, to birds, to four-footed beast, and to creeping things. They went all the way to corruptible. Thank you for adding that. To corruptible man.
The cheap knockoff.
To a cheap imitation of the original. And he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He said, wherefore, look, if God said, if you give me up, then I'll give you up. If you don't want to listen to me, then I won't talk to you. I can't talk to you. One of our messages yesterday was faith. Is God has always wanted man to listen to him, to obey him, to fellowship with him. But we're the ones that turn away. And he says, if you turn away, then you turn away from the light. And as the scriptures say, great becomes your darkness. And that's how dark it got. And he says, he gave them, verse 24, he says, wherefore God also gave them up. Verse 24, to what? Uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who was the body for? Let me go back to
the image.
The first body. Who was the first body?
Adam.
Who was he for? That's close. Now she was for him. Keep that in mind.
He was God's representative.
He was so
his proxy.
Adam was called
the Son of God.
The Son of God.
He's a direct creation.
He was the Son of God. He expected Adam to walk with him, which they did, fellowship with him, which they did, work with him,
worship and
serve him, which he did, until
iniquity was found in
him. He refused.
Yeah.
God didn't walk away from him. He walked away. And when he walked away, God put them out. Didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he put them out?
Because they disobeyed. They weren't obedient.
Because they refused to retain God in their knowledge. you know what?
It's also for their protection, because if they had eaten of the tree of life,
well, it wasn't for their protection.
Well, but wait a minute. If
hold on a second.
Okay.
What does that word mean? Retain.
To hold, to keep.
Yes. Does that sound like Romans 1? He says they did not
retain God in their knowledge.
He says you didn't hold fast the knowledge.
Or the truth in righteousness.
The truth was what you were created for, Adam. You walked away from it.
Sort of like Moses.
Whose fault was that?
Adam.
Now, what we don't, I think the significance of that is we don't realize how it affects us today. When we say when Adam begot a son in his own likeness and after his own image, we don't realize that. When you get down thousands of years,
it's a de-evolution.
It's no surprise that you find all kinds of things. You know, I was trying to think of the channel anyway, but this man was they had like 6 or 7 children, and he was making them the lady that was a foster lady. They were making the kids partake in incestuous activity. All brothers and sisters. And I thought, you know, scripture, when God, he says something like this, he says in Leviticus 18, he says, you don't do this kind of activity. You don't do this. He says, it is confusion. It's confusion. And he would say in another passage, it's an abomination. So, okay. So, and the opposite of that is opposite of Obama. I'm kind of going off here, but when the Egyptians were in when the Hebrews were in Egypt, and Joseph, he said to his brothers, he says, go out there and sacrifice to your God, Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, go out and sacrifice to your God. And they said, shall we go out and sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians? He says, every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. I know this. You know why? Because the Egyptians worshipped the animals. They worshipped cattle. And that's why the Hebrew says, shall we go and sacrifice the opposite of the abomination is holy. See, it's holy to them, but to God, God says, it means nothing to me. My desire for you is to sacrifice it. For them, it's just the opposite. We worship and serve this. So Every shepherd, he said, is an abomination to them. Anyway, I say this. When they were in that activity, that unholy activity, that abomination, we get into this in Romans where God says he gave them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies. He says in Deuteronomy, man shall not lay with man. It is what?
Abomination.
So when you get down to when they refused to worship and serve God, and he gave them up, and he says to them in verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When I asked you whose bodies they were God's. He says, they who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He says they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And we talked a little bit about that last week, the week before that. And I don't want you to feel like this is way off. Well, you say, well, that's them. We do the same thing in a different way. Here's how we do it. Mm-hmm. So, yep, you got to. That's your.
Anything that takes away our attention and our thoughts to the way of the world and not.
It's easy. You know how many abominations come through this thing right here? Okay. That's what I saw. So I'm thinking this. Who we're sitting there and we get all these messages. Where do you think that information goes? Let me say it this way. When you input information into the computer, mm-hmm. Where do you think it goes?
To the heart.
Hopefully it goes into your memory.
You're right. It does. It goes. You are like a computer. When you take that information in, guess where it goes? To the memory, to the hard drive. It doesn't go away. Only thing about our hard drive that is active. Those are seeds that you put in, that we put in. And then all of a sudden you see some fruit when you don't want to see it. You say, where'd that come from? Where'd it come from? It come from the hours of time that you spent sowing to it. And you're like, wow. And if you don't have the Word of God in you to bring those thoughts into captivity, guess what it does?
It grows.
It begins to manifest itself in your speech, in your behavior, in your thoughts.
In the way you spend your time and your money.
And it grows. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's a process going on. And it's the opposite of what God wants. It's a confirmation happening, not a transformation happening. See, the confirmation is from the outside and it shapes you from the outside in. The transformation, it shapes you from the inside out. So the spirit man is not growing, but the old man, he is. Now, he gave them up to the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature who is more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Here you go, Mary. For this cause, for what cause? Because they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, God gave them up unto vile affections. To vile affections. Vile affections.
He just left them to themselves.
Yes, he did.
Well, it just goes to show, too, that how much the Lord respects freedom and liberty, because he doesn't force himself on them, and then he ratifies, okay, this is what you want? Okay. And gives it to them.
No, just like today, in grace, he doesn't make you do what he wants. We can go where we want to go, do what we want to do. Paul would say, you set your affections on what?
Things above.
He said, the vile affections, he said, that's what he gave them up for, to vile affections. Lust. He said, immoral and impure. He says, he gave them up. And then he says, even what? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. The natural use.
Help me reproduce.
I like that where God said, and he's trying to really show you something here, where he says, even their women. When I said, what did God make man for? And Mary said, the woman. Eve, that's right. I mean, but he made the woman out of man, didn't he? And he made the woman for man. That's 1 Corinthians. It says, man was not made for the woman, but the woman for the man. So he makes the woman from the man, from his side. And we talked about it. He says, and from the man, he says, made he a woman, which is their word for built. He built her. In Genesis, it says everything produces after its kind, right? Mm-hmm. We saw that. And he made the woman for the man. He built her. You know what I mean, right?
Breakout.
You know what I mean, right? That's,
yes.
So
it's the perfect complement to what he was created.
Yes. Not just all you know, animals are like that. Mammals are like that. There's some exceptions, but I don't want to be base, you know what I'm saying, this, but
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, he made it possible for reproduction, right? And not just
They're made that the two might become one.
But there's in Corinthians, Paul said this. He says that that the two, when two are made one flesh, you know, he says that when a man is joined to a woman, they become one flesh. But it's an example. He says, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. But the fact that we are able to reproduce and have some enjoyment in the process. So he says, I'm making her for you. For you, man. He says that this is just when this is how much the Lord enjoys our fellowship. You enjoy your wife, right? Okay, so he says this is just an example. When you work together, you toil together, I made her for you. That's where, you know what, I know you've heard this before, where they say where the sin in the garden was sex. You ever heard that?
Yeah, and that Satan and...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
So, but he says, I made her for you. And then when you see from the reproduction and just the fact that she was a helpmeet and... I'm sorry. There was a passage in the Old Testament where David got old. He got real old and he was really sick. And they went out and they got him a young woman. No, he was. But they went out and they got him a young woman, and he was with her in the bed. But Scripture said, "But he knew her not; neither got he any heat." You know, it wasn't a comfort to him. It was so he didn't get the benefits of that. So you get to here in Romans, he says that when they went down to vile affections, he says even their women left. He says even the women left. He says, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. He said, the natural use, you know what the word for that is? We get physical from. They even changed the physical use into that which is against nature.
We see it so much today in the whole abortion movement.
So, it's not even just that. It's two women, they can't have a baby.
They can't do that.
Two men, they can't have a baby. Oh, sure. You see, if you're against the natural use, you'll find a way to make it happen without God, won't you? You will produce. We've been looking for a way to produce outside of our kind for a long time. We've been trying to pair everything. Anybody ever seen The Island of Dr. Moreau? Mm-hmm. They've been trying it for a long time. So now, if you can't do it naturally, we'll do it legally. Just go buy your baby. Pick out a catalog, buy your baby. Bring it home. He says, even their women did change the natural uses to get that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat. He says, he made the woman for the man, and the man was to benefit from the woman, and they were to be help meet together, and they were to go for it together in their subduing and their replenishing and their dominion. And so if I want to break that up, what do?
Separate those two.
You separate those two. And guess what they did? They separated. And he says, even the men, he says, they left the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. He said, burned in what? Their lust one toward another. Now you're going to have this. Well, he was born that way. You know what? I got to tell you, there's some truth in that. Yes, sir.
I have heard that too. They say it's about the DNA, as far as they have to mother home. It's about the DNA.
I mean,
it's just like a disease. Your body can be diseased and have things wrong with mental.
Why is your body diseased?
Because of
sin. Because of sin, right? So you have to do that.
Little kids, man. Some little kids, you can see it. So, I mean, you know.
Right.
But also, I think there's a lot of environment. There's,
well, yeah,
there's nurture.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. I mean, so, sure. But it's all sin, and that's where it all springs from.
That's
it
right.
Change just because somebody says they're born that way doesn't change the truth of
right.
what the Word
right.
says.
Okay, now, here's the rubbing point. Like Mary said, it's proof. You know, some babies are born with both organs. Mm-hmm. Some have a hormone difference, you know, more estrogen than testosterone, or more testosterone than estrogen. That's genetic. You can't say that's not happening. So, all those chemicals are things that determine they determine your affections. So now they say, well, we've really gotten down the line now, and we say, well, tell you what, just go ahead and change. That's the new movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
The transgender movement.
Children, little ones.
Before, you wouldn't even talk about, 20 years ago, you wouldn't even hear that on TV, gay. He's gay. He's openly gay. So our society is, we're continuing to not retain God in their knowledge, and we're setting up a whole new standard.
We're celebrating sin.
Now, I guess the point is this: is where do we stand on this, believers? Because, like you said, is God stronger than your affections?
Sure.
Is the Word of God stronger than your affections?
Absolutely.
Listen, unless the men in here are gay, we like women. What? So not we like a woman, we like women. So we see women and women look appealing to us. That's natural. What determines me from having many women? Okay, if women like men, if you like men, what determines whether you have one man or many men?
If you believe the Word, the standard.
So, now, we just had this. Here's a guy, he says, I like young women. really young. And here's a man, he says, I like young boys. Really young. Now, they might say he was born that way, and he was born that way. Okay, so then we're back to again to what the word says is the word of God stronger than your affections?
It should be.
So if a person is not a believer, they don't have the Spirit, what is he going to do?
Follow his affections.
He's going to follow his affections. He's a slave to them. And the only reason why we wouldn't, as saved people, only reason why we don't fall, as Romans 6, that we don't fall in this captivity to those affections, is that we take the word of God and yield to it. Otherwise, we're in one of these categories.
We should walk
in newness.
In newness, our identity has been changed. We're no longer in Adam, we are in Christ.
Now, see,
you're saved and they're still.
That's what I'm saying. That's
because they believed enough to get saved.
Yep. Yeah. If we were just.
Corinthians had. That Paul was saying, you're not walking in the identity of.
He says, what you're doing, they don't do out here. But that's because if a man's carnal is just like an unsaved man, if he's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, then he'll fall into these categories. Now, I'm only saying that because this is, if God is conforming us to the image of his son, you have to believe the word. And you can make excuses for the things that you do or what you feel. But at some point, the question comes down to, am I going to believe this? Does it really work? Is it really that strong? Is the word of God stronger than my affections?
Yes.
Is the word of God stronger than my feelings?
Yes. But you've got to heed it.
Hey, that's an individual question.
Right.
That's a.
To give you an example, last week I spoke with this gentleman concerning this verse.
This?
He's been homosexual now for years on end. He's a millionaire, president of this company. And he says, Bob, he says, I know what you're telling me, but I'm not going to change because my Lord has died for me and he has forgiven all my sins and I am going to heaven.
Is he wrong?
No.
No.
Is he right?
No.
See, listen.
We're all sinners.
This is individual. It's an individual thing. Look, we're all going out of here with something. And you ever notice why is he so concerned about the body? When you look at the verses, when Paul starts talking about the flesh, he starts right in. He'll say adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Why don't he start with this? Pride, envy. He doesn't start with those things. He goes right in on the body. He says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, evil concupiscence. He'll go right to your body.
Outside image is what other people see.
Because this, it's the service.
Lust of the flesh.
That's the service, right? See, the time is up. All the relationships here, they're just snapshots of what's going on with God and us as the body. So, like he'll say, look, the marriage is just a snapshot. The family is just a snapshot. He says, if you're an image, everything that's produced with you is part of the image. Whether it's you as the individual in the worship and service, you and the couple, as a worship and service. You and the family as a worship and service. And even Israel, them and the nation as a worship and service. He says it's just a snapshot. So he told them when they left him, it was like you cheated on me. He said, you committed fornication with the idols.
Well, let me ask you this question. You just passed right over what I said. Am I wrong in telling him that he is wrong?
No, we didn't pass over it. I said, is he wrong? Is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong.
He said,
if he's
right.
Trusting Christ.
No, and I said, is he right?
No, he's not right as far as I'm concerned.
He's going to heaven, but he's not living right.
Right.
Okay.
The worship and service.
So he's missing that part, right?
He's the guy in Corinthians that's gonna. He's the guy in Corinthians that'll get in with the singed pants because he's got nothing to show for.
Let me do it this way. You don't have to answer this. What's your problem? This hypothetical. What's your problem?
You
no hypothetical.
I was gonna say you got an hour.
What's your problem? Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
It's
what's yours?
Head.
Okay, right. Are you wrong?
Maybe.
Are you wrong?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you going in?
Yes.
On His grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Are you going in for sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you right?
No.
Are you wrong?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, whose matter is that?
God.
Yes. It's between you and God. So what we do is we try to encourage each other to put away those things and to worship and serve properly. But ultimately, well, Paul said this, you that are spiritual, go to such a one in the spirit of meekness.
Sure, unless ye shall.
And restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He says, but every man must bear his own burden.
We tend as humans to rank sins and say, well, ours aren't as bad as that one.
That's right.
It all falls into the same bucket.
Exactly. We're going in on His grace.
Yep.
That's a fact.
Yep.
And we're going in with something.
Yep.
That's a fact.
And that's the purging at the judgment.
So.
If he believes in the Bible, which he says he does, then why is he following the way he's going?
Well, why many of us
why
do? Pride's a big
fact. That's not one.
You're saved in spite of you. Look.
No sin is greater than that.
Yeah, we will. I don't think we can cover that in another 5 minutes. So we're going.
Should I shut up and not talk to him anymore?
We're gonna stop right there because, like I said, that's a whole another lesson right there.
One quick question.
Yes.
You may or may not be able to answer this before. In what way is there truth in the Zohar?
In what? I'll say it quickly.
Well, first of all, the horoscope bears no resemblance to the original. That is a knockoff, so to speak. I mean, because
it's like a fortune cookie version of an old religion, but there's still, like you said, some.
Well, here it is. Here it is. The way that when it says Maseroth, when our whole earth rotates and revolves around the sun, it determines the seasons and all those things. But it doesn't stop there. And I think we talked about that in Hebrews. It says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, those are ages. So even our seasons, we have different seasons. Our world is affected by the rotation of the earth around the sun. It doesn't stop with the creation. It goes, even there's people, you know, for example, they might say if you were born in this month, there's certain characteristics that you have. there are certain characteristics that people, like they might say, you know, I'll give you a good example. My grandmother's a Pisces. And Pisces people are always trying to help other people, trying to fix other people. So, and you can see that in a person.
Yeah, there's some truth.
That's what I said. There is some truth in that because it affects not only the creation, it affects world events, it affects people. When in Deuteronomy and Genesis 50, when Moses is naming the 12 sons, he begins to give them characteristics. Like he'd say, Judah is a crouching lion. This something.
When whoever the father was.
That was Jacob.
Jacob.
Yeah.
Moses,
yeah. I'm sorry.
That's,
yeah. It was, okay. So, but anyway, we'll go back next week and look at it a little more in detail. But I don't have the answers to that. All the answers to that to make it really clear. Otherwise, I'd be back there with them. But. But it's a obscure fact that we have the vestigial remnants of it, where we hold on to those little truths that they do have, even though it's nowhere near what it was.
And is that why it says that lest ye be driven to worship those
right.
things?
Right. We got our religions from that. So, anyway, I don't know if that even helped out a little bit. We'll do something else on that. So, anyway, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We just pray that in the multitude of words that we have grasped some truth and some encouragement and edification from our time here. And we just pray that it was for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You know what? We can get different.